Bible, please, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'll give you a hint. You have trouble finding 1 Corinthians? It's just before 2 Corinthians, all right? Keep that in mind. A great theological truth already. That was worth coming for tonight, I'll tell you right now. But I want to thank you for coming. I mean that from my heart. There are people that should be here that aren't here. I never get on those people that should be here. It's so dumb. I've heard guys stand up and get all over the people that aren't here. No. I'm amazed anybody ever comes to hear me preach. So thank you for coming tonight. Let me encourage you. Pray for the services. Try to bring somebody with you. Ask God to give you wisdom on how to get somebody else here. But above all, pray. We have not. Why? One reason. Because we ask not. Look in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'll begin reading with verse number 11. The Apostle Paul said, "For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he is built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And every life is sometimes there comes trouble, heartache, disappointment, and discouragement. Nobody here tonight in your entire lifetime will go through as much as the Apostle Paul went through. It's amazing what Paul endured to serve God. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned and left for dead. Spent years in a filthy Roman jail. And yet all the time, after part of all the pain, all the agony, the Apostle Paul never stopped serving God. How come? I believe it was one great doctrine that drove the Apostle Paul. The doctrine is this. Paul realized someday he would come, stand alone, open his mouth, give an account to Jesus Christ. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. I'm convinced in my heart tonight that great Bible doctrine, if we get it from here down to here, would affect every aspect of our Christian life. Number one, first of all, my friend, in our text tonight, we find a restriction. The old Negro song goes like this. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Dear friend, that is good Bible theology. Everybody that thinks they're going to heaven will not go to heaven. Look in your Bible at verse number 11. "Other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Three thoughts about Bible salvation. First of all, other foundation can no man lay. Think with me. What's that verse say? Salvation is not by human effort. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot buy your way to heaven. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You cannot give your way to heaven. There's nothing you can do that will get you into heaven. Other foundation can no man lay. You cannot work your way into heaven. Look at that verse again. It says, "Then is laid." What's that mean? When God's Son hung on the cross, gripped the nails, made that fantastic statement, "It." Again, he didn't say "I." He said, "It is finished." The "it" refers to what? Salvation. Jesus Christ didn't say, "Here's the deal, buddy. I'll pay half, you pay half." No. He didn't say, "I'll pay a third, you pay two thirds." No. Salvation is entirely through Jesus Christ. "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son should not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Christ alone is salvation. You add anything to what Christ has done, you diluted the blood of Christ, and you don't have salvation, you got damnation. Remember that. It's Christ alone, the dying on the cross for your sin and my sin, that provides Bible salvation. Look at that verse again. "Other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Bible salvation is found in a person, not a baptistry, not an organization, not a church. My friend, Bible salvation is found in a person. "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life." Hear your Bible. "But the wrath of God abides upon him." Every person right now, tonight, in hell is there for one reason. They never accepted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. So, first of all, we find a restriction. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there, as the old saying goes. But thank God, those that have received will go there. Now, number one, a restriction. Number two, a day of revelation. Now it's talking to Christians. Look in your Bible at verse number 12. If any man build upon this foundation, this foundation is salvation, Jesus Christ. But my friend, we should build upon Christ. What does that mean? As the building goes higher and higher, our Christian life should grow. The Bible talks about growing in grace. My friend, you ought to be a better Christian now than you were in the day that you got saved. We ought to grow in the grace and knowledge, the Bible says, of the Lord Jesus Christ. So look in your Bible, a couple of verses here. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Two thoughts about this revelation. Number one, it's impartial. What I mean, if you're saved, mark it down. You can't escape it. You can't avoid it. You can't lie about it. You can detour. You cannot detour about it. If you're saved, someday you will stand alone at the judgment seat of Christ. Watch how he hammers this. He wants to get it through. Look in your Bible. Verse 12. If any man, verse 13, every man's work, the last phrase, every man's work, verse 14, it says again in verse 15, if any man's work, verse 17, if any man, verse 18, if any man, Paul emphasizes that. Someday, if you're saved, in a special judgment for Christians, you'll come and you'll stand alone at the judgment seat of Christ. Number one, it's impartial. Number two, my friend, it is illuminating. What are you saying, preacher? Your real character is revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. Look in your Bible at verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. He makes three statements to emphasize your real character is revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. First of all, every man's work should be made manifest. In the Greek, one man said this. The idea is this. Every man's work will be put on parade. A parade is a public affair. You might fool your wife. You might fool the pastor. You might fool your boss. You cannot fool the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that verse again. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Number two, the day shall declare it. Jesus said, that which is done in secret will be shouted from the housetops. The idea of an open public judgment. Phrase number three, look at that verse again. It shall be revealed, not destroyed, revealed by fire at the judgment seat of Christ. Not your individual sins, but your real character is revealed publicly. Now, what someone thought, no, what you really are down inside is revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. Dr. Lee Robertson in Chattanooga, pastor of that great church I went to for many years, said one day he heard a man pounding on his office door. He opened the door. A man was there. He said, sir, I can't wait. I got to talk to you. So come on in. The man came in and sat down. He said, how can I help you? He said, sir, I've been a deacon in this church 20 years. You baptized me. I'm here every single service. But God's been all over you, mommy. I've been faking it. He said, I don't need to rededicate my life. I need to get saved. That's the Holy Spirit working and moving. Oh, how many people will be in hell because they're afraid to admit they've been a fake and a phony. See, when somebody has been in a church for years and says, I need to get saved, you say they were a fake and a phony. No, they weren't. Not necessarily. Remember, the devil is a great deceiver. And don't yet, if you're not sure you're saved, let your pride get you into hell, because your pride cannot get you out of hell, friend. Get honest with God, whatever you do, in this great thing about Bible salvation. Number one, first of all, a restriction. Number two, the day of revelation. Number three, for some Christians, I hope for you, I do, a day of reward. Yep, there's a day the Bible says at the judgment seat of Christ that God gives out rewards. There are four areas that God gives rewards. Number one, first of all, my friend, the rewards are given for those that look for the rapture. They look for Christ's coming. Your Bible says God will give a crown of righteousness unto those that love his appearing. There's an inclination there. Who would look for Christ appearing? Christians living right, acting right, talking right, serving right, thinking right. When you look for his coming, it affects, and the Bible says, every man that hath this hope, hear the Bible, purify himself. You show me a Christian living as far from God as he can, claiming to be saved. My friend, he's deceiving himself. That's right. God help us to be honest with Jesus Christ. Let me illustrate it for you. When I was a boy growing up, my mom worked at a factory, normally 5 days a week. But one Saturday she had to work, and she said, now, son, I was in the fourth grade, I'm going to let you stay home all by yourself, behave yourself. I said, Mom, no problem. Now, mother left the house, I had a thought. The dumbest thought I ever had in my entire life, I thought, you know, being a mature fourth grader, it must be time I start smoking. Now, my mom didn't smoke, but I looked around the house. I found some strips of cardboard about that long, got a can of coffee, got the matches, got the scotch tape, stuck out back behind the oil barrels where nobody would see me. Now, I put down a big strip of cardboard, filled it full of coffee, rolled it up, and scotch taped it shut. I put it in my mouth and struck a match. I took a deep, deep drag, and then I took a deep, deep gag. It was awful. It was. You know, being a macho fourth grader, you got to fire up the Smokies, okay? So I'd puff a while and play a while, and I had a thought. If Mom was to come home and catch me smoking, she would not rejoice. Neither would I. I went in the house, got the alarm clock, brought it out right on the oil barrels where I could watch it. I'd puff a while, play a while, puff a while, play a while. Pretty soon I thought, you know, I must be more mature than I think I am. Those little cigarettes don't satisfy. I'm going to get a big one. I got two strips of cardboard about that long. I scotch taped them end to end, okay? I filled it full of coffee. I rolled it up. I scotch taped it shut. There was a Tipperella or a Panatella. I'm not sure. Definitely a millimeter longer. Now, I got that thing. I got it in my mouth. I struck a match. I'm trying to suck on it. All of a sudden behind me, I heard a voice. The voice said, Son! Can I explain something to you? When you're an only child, that narrows the possibilities a great deal. It really does, okay? The voice said, Son, what are you doing? I turned around. That was my mother. Here's what I said. I said, Mom, you're never going to believe this. I was right. That's what I said. Mom, you'll never believe this. There was this big black bug. He was trying to attack me and eat me up. I said, Mom, I've captured the black bug. I'm burning him up. I'm the savior of civilization. Pretty good. Not good enough for Mama. When Mama got through, it was not the black bug had been burned up. It was my body that had been burned up. Now, wait, what happened? The alarm clock ran down and stopped. And I was gone. You say, preacher, I'm saved. And someday I'm going to break that habit. Someday I'm going to be a soul winner. Someday, wait. What if Christ comes tonight? You'll stand before Christ just as you live up to now. Oh, may God stir our hearts about the urgency of today. Today. Today is the day to live for God. In the Bible, God never said, start living for me tomorrow when you're 21 or when you retire. God's word is always today. It's time to start living for Jesus Christ. God's first, and you get a crown. A crown for what? Looking for his coming. Now, number two, there's a crown given to those that live pure. A crown for living pure. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, James said, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown. Enduring temptation, the victorious Christian life. Oh, how important that is. It's important you live for God. Why? Not just for a crown. I don't care who you are, what you are, what you do, what you don't do. You influence somebody else for heaven or somebody else for hell. The Bible says that no man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. Oh, the responsibility. Wake up. Today, nobody wants responsibility. I read recently in the big factories, men that run big machines that something could go wrong and they could lose their life. They don't want that job. No, they don't want any responsibility. They want a paycheck without responsibility. My friend, when you got saved, God said you have responsibility to live right, act right, talk right, to witness right. My friend, believers are not just to live unto themselves. That's pretty cheap. We're to be like Christ. Did Christ live for himself? Absolutely not. Why did he die? For himself? No. Who his own self bore our, get that word, our sins in his body on the tree. That is the height of unselfishness. a holy Christ, a sinless Christ on the cross, bearing your sin, your shame, your filth. Think of the worst sin you can think of. On the cross, he bore that. And yet, my friend, we want to live our own life and do our own way. Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. It drives me. Because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. Hear the word of God. We should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but live unto him that loved us and gave himself for us. Christ on Calvary should motivate us, as few things do, to live for him and to love him and to serve him and to be faithful with him. Number one, looking for his coming. Number two, living pure. Number three, being faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown. I've heard people say, well, you know, faithfulness is not that important. That's not what God said. He said, your being faithful is so important. It's one of five things you can get a crown for. What? Just being faithful. On Judgment Day, here's what he says to some, maybe not to you. Well done, watch it, good and faithful servant. Faithful in what? Faithful in Bible reading. That will change your life if you get faithful in Bible reading. Faithful in prayer. Faithful in witnessing. Faithful in the house of God. Faithful in holy living. And God wonders what God said. It's not your option, buddy. It is required. What's that word? Required in a steward that a man be found faithful. It's not your choice. God said, I saved you, and I'm requiring you to live a life that will glorify me and cause others to realize that I'm not dead, but I'm alive. A man named Philip Keller has written some wonderful books. He's a tremendous Christian, but he writes books about animals and applies them, real true life animals. And he's in Australia, is where he lives. And he went to visit another town, and he heard that his relatives were there, a lot of relatives he'd never met. So Philip got in town, walking down Main Street, goes by a building, a guy come out and said, sir, stop. He couldn't be mean, nobody knows me. Kept walking, sir, stop. He said, sir, you, in a brown coat and the gray pants, stop. He said, me? He said, yeah. He said, sir, you're a Keller, aren't you? He said, nobody here knows me. How do you know I'm a Keller? He said, come on in. There's about seven of us Kellers having breakfast. Come and join us, please. They sit down, and he said, I had a wonderful time. Come to think, all of them were saved. They sat there and had a great time, and pretty soon he said, okay, I give up. He said, sir, how did you know that I'm a Keller? He said, well, I was sitting at the window, and I look up, and I saw you coming down the street. He said, and I was getting ready to, for some reason, I turned around. I saw you walking down the street. He said, sir, I knew you were a Keller for one reason. Every single Keller male, regardless of how long ago it's been, they all walk with kind of a hitch in their step. They got a hitch when they walk. He said, when I saw you walking down the street, I said, that man's a Keller because look how he walks. The Bible says we ought to show the world we're a Christian by how we walk. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We ought to walk in such a way the world might realize that Jesus Christ is not dead. He's alive, and he's in us, and he's helping us, and we can have victory over death and hell and judgment and Satan and public opinion. Why? Because we can walk right, because Jesus Christ indwells us. Number one, looking for his coming. Number two, living pure. Number three, being faithful. Number four, my friend, is what? Winning souls. There's a crown for that. In fact, God emphasizes that. Is that in the Bible? Yeah. Hear your Bible. They that turn many to righteousness. What is that? That could just mean one thing. They that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the brightness of the firmament forever and ever. You ever think of this? That verse says when you get to heaven, to my knowledge of the Bible, outside of Christ, only one group that shines. not the Presbyterians, not the Baptist, not the Holy Ghost people. The only group that shines in heaven is what? They that win souls. They that are made in righteousness shall shine. You get to heaven, okay? You're a rookie in heaven, your first day there. All right? You're walking down the street. Wow, look at that. Must be ready kilowatt. Man, that thing's all fired up there. Hey, now, here comes an angel. Is that Moses? No. Elijah? No. An archangel? No. Well, what's that? What shines and burns? He said, sir, that's a man on the earth that was a soul winner. That's the emphasis. The only group that shine in heaven are who? The folks that win souls. They that turning many to righteousness, I'll quote again, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament forever and ever. Who will be in heaven because of you? Who? Again, your Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Somebody said, man, if I witness, they'd make fun of me. If I'd witness, they'd ridicule me. Boy, if I witness, I'd be embarrassed to death. Wise up! God said, the folks in heaven that witness and get folks saved are the wise people. And the carnal Christians that would ridicule that and make fun of soul winning and evangelism, they're a carnal crowd. And someday they'll wish they got involved in the greatest thing that Christ asked us to do, share the gospel and get folks saved. So number four, I can't even count tonight, okay? For some, it will be a day of rebuke. Look in your Bible. Verse 9, it says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Huh? Now the Bible talks about crowns. I've heard Christians say, I'd be happy just to get to heaven without any crowns. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. What's the purpose of crowns, the Bible tells you? We'll take our crowns, we'll stand before Christ, take our crowns, and cast our crowns at Christ's feet in front of all Christendom, okay? What are you going to feel like, huh? Your name is called. You walk up and get on your knees. You're as close to Christ as you're ever going to be. Christ said, give an account. And you stammer and stutter and, boy, you got one crown, two crowns. It's going to be the most embarrassing day of your existence. Why? Christ gave all. And you stingy little Christian have nothing except maybe one crown, maybe two, to put there. Remember, my friend, what you really are. Forget the pious talk. What you really are, everybody will know how, by the number of crowns you put there. He didn't care if folks went to hell. He didn't have the soul winning crown. He didn't live right. He didn't have the crown for being pure. That's right. All Christendom will know exactly what you are and who you are in spite of your pious talk at the judgment seat of Christ. I was in the fourth grade, Illinois. Winter, February, bitter cold. At 2 o'clock in the morning, mother ran in the house, grabbed me, shook me, said, son, get out. The house is on fire. Get out. I didn't understand. I rolled over, curled up in bed, and went to sleep. Mother came in, picked me up, carried me outside, opened the door, threw me in an old car, slammed the car door. I lay on the seat of that car, my body shaking and quivering. Pretty soon, my mind started to clear. I looked up. I realized the whole house was a blazing, fiery inferno. As I sat there three times, I saw my mom run in the flame and the smoke to save what she could. As I sat there, it hit me. In that house, all my clothes, all my toys, everything I had, I'll never forget it. That night I stood up in that old car. I turned around. I got down on my knees on the floorboard. And I prayed fervently. I said, Lord, make it a dream. Dear God, make it a nightmare. Oh, God, don't let it be real. It was real. Everything I had in that house, everything, went up in smoke and flame. You better hear me. The day's going to come a lot of Christians live for themselves, baby themselves. As close to Christ as they'll ever be, will be on their knees. And what's their toys and their junk of a lifetime go up in smoke. And that day they'll pray as they never prayed. Oh, God. Make it a dream. Dear God, don't let it be real. Oh, God, make it a nightmare. Hear your Bible. Every one of us will give an account of himself unto God in front of all Christendom. Bow your head for prayer. Our heads are bowed. Two questions. Number one, if you were to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? There's another judgment if you're not saved. It's called the white throne judgment. At that day, you'll come and get on your knees in front of Jesus Christ. And because you never accepted him as your savior, you'll be cast into hell. This time here I mentioned, it's not for heaven or hell, it's for rewards. Now, what are you going to feel like? Is your family going to be embarrassed that day because you weren't what you claimed to be? Is Christ going to be ashamed of you? The Bible talks about Christ being ashamed in certain areas. Who tonight will say, preacher, I'm a Christian, but God spoke to my heart. If I was to kneel there, I wouldn't have much or I wouldn't have anything. And I know Christ is worth everything. Preacher, as you preach tonight, God spoke to my heart. There's some changes I need to make. Some service I need to surrender. Some souls I need to seek. Preacher, I'm a Christian, but God spoke to my heart tonight about this thing of the judgment seat of Christ. Brother Mark, I want you to pray for me as a Christian. Can I see your hand right now? Lift it up. Let me see it. They're all over the place. Thank God. There's some more. Thank God tonight. There's another one. There's two more. Another one. God bless you. Holy Father, thank you for being here tonight. Oh, God, drive this in our heart and our soul and our being. May it drive us as it drove the Apostle Paul. Just don't make it dull theology. Make it a theology on fire that will burn and drive us and give us a looking out for that day. And as the word of the Bible says, prepare to meet our God. Once your head bowed and your eyes closed. We're not going to tarry long tonight. If God spoke to your heart, whether you raised your hand or not, I'm going to have you stand in a minute. The instrument's going to play. If God speaks into your heart, I want you to get out of that seat, make your way to the altar. Just pray. You know what God wants you to do. Confess that sin. Ask God to strengthen you, to give you the courage to stand for him and live for him. And determine to do what will cause that to happen. Reading your Bible, praying, coming to church. I want you to do one thing tonight, okay? You do here tonight at this altar what you frantically wish you had done at the judgment seat of Christ. If he's speaking, get out of there. Come and pray and go back to your seat. I want everybody in the auditorium right now, stand at your feet. Everybody stand. Stand right up. Come on, stand right up. If God's speaking, come on right now. Get out of there. Come ahead as the instrument plays. God bless you. Good. I like that. People coming right now. You need to come. Come on, friend. Come on. Do now what you wish you'd done then. That's right. Good. Who else? Come on. Come on. You can laugh about it. It's not funny. Anybody else? Come on. God bless you, son. Anybody else?